in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today.
Hello.
We're here proclaiming the Word of God.
What could be better?
Acts 7:59. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he died, and Saul approved of their killing him. So we see that the forgiveness of Stephen brings the conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul. And it's so important that we forgive. Forgiveness is all part of the kingdom experience. We need to forgive people who hurt us, especially if we are sensitive. We need to forgive people to the nth degree. And as we forgive people, we are set free. If they're not set free, we are set free. And so forgiveness is so important in kingdom living.
And when we forgive someone, we're not excusing what they did or saying what happened to us was right. We're just releasing ourselves so we can live freedom in the kingdom. And you know, when we do prayers and we pray for healing in the body, a lot of times forgiveness precedes a miracle. When we have unforgiveness in our heart, it's just a block for what God wants to do. God is waiting on us to forgive and release people so that he can heal us, do miracles through us. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who hurt you, my Father in heaven cannot forgive you.
That day, a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. Even though he went to heaven, they're human. They made loud lamentation over him. That Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women, he committed them to prison. So we see this Saul is a real person who hates the church and who hates people who love the Messiah. He is a real person who wants every Christian dead. They weren't even called Christians at this time. They were called the Way. He wanted the Way destroyed, and he would do everything to get it destroyed by putting people in prison, by going into their homes and taking them out and putting them into prison. This is Saul, but thanks be to God. The deacon forgave him. The deacon forgave him, and that forgiveness changes everything. Saul becomes Paul, and he becomes the preacher to the Gentiles.
And just about healing and forgiveness, sometimes what happens is if we were wounded when we were maybe 7 or 8 years old, someone did something to us, our emotions, our soul, it gets trapped and it gets stuck as a 7-year-old, and we get fragmented. So then when tough times happen, we revert back in our emotions and our soul to that little 7-year-old child, because we were never really able to progress beyond that. And we regress into getting anger and temper tantrums, and our emotions just get trapped. But when we begin to, first we forgive the person, then we bless them, then we ask Jesus to come into that, because God is outside time. So Jesus created the timeline. He can go back and heal that little child who was wounded. And we ask Jesus to free our emotions and free us. And we become free. And it's crazy because when forgiveness happens, then miracles break out. Forgiveness creates stagnancy, and that stagnant energy creates disease in the body. What is dis-ease? It's dis-ease. Our body's supposed to, our life's supposed to have an ease upon it. And dis-ease is when that ease is taken away. When there's not a flow of the Holy Spirit from heaven through you to earth into heaven. So Lord, we just pray for the grace for forgiveness. We pray that even if you have forgiven, that's step one. Step two is to bless. Now step three is to ask Jesus to come in and surrender those wounds to him and give it to him so he can heal the wounds. We not only need to ask forgive, but then we need to ask Jesus to come in and heal those wounds so that we can be free. Because Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. You know, we spoke at the meeting. Jesus didn't even say, I come to give you heaven. He said, I came to give you life and life abundantly upon this earth. And Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. Salvation means to be saved. Jesus wants us saved in our emotions, in our spirit, in our finances, in every part of our life. Jesus has an abundant life for us, and he wants you to shine bright like the person he created you to be.
Acts 8, chapter 8. Verse 4. Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip, he's one of the deacons, was supposed to be waiting on table, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did, for unclean spirits came out crying with loud shrieks. They came out of many who were possessed and many others who were paralyzed. So we see Philip not only proclaims the word of God, but he has power to heal the sick. I tell you, when people get healed, people start listening. There was a lady that came yesterday. She said, I've never come here, but I need a healing. She's going to the doctors because of they might have cancer. I prayed against it. No cancer in the name of Jesus. Miracles have to happen for people to believe. And God has given us that ability to do miracles. You too.
Hallelujah.
Me too. All of us. It's time for us not only to proclaim the Messiah, but it's time for us to heal the sick in the Messiah's name. And that's what it's all about. And both are part of the gospel. People say healing stopped with the last apostle. That's not what the scripture says. Signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall prophesy. They shall heal the sick. They shall cast out demons. These are the signs that were promised us, and we need to use them. When we read the Acts of the Apostles, we need to put ourselves in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles have 28 chapters. We need to be chapter 29, seeing God doing miracles, doing wonders, doing signs, through the proclamation of the gospel, always through the proclamation of Messiah, of Jesus the Christ, of Jesus the Anointed One. Signs like these will follow those who believe. And we need these signs. People need these signs to believe. And after the sign is given, people start saying, oh my. Like there was a lady yesterday who had a problem with her knees. And we prayed a simple little prayer, and her eyes opened up. She said, it feels so much better. It's God confirming the word of God through signs, wonders, and miracles.
As Jesus, he came to install a kingdom. And as we read the Bible, we see how we're supposed to operate. It's always better to show power first and then give them doctrine, then give them. But people respond to the power of God. Jesus went, he healed, he fed, he worked miracles, and then he preached the gospel. You know, we want to display the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now. May the kingdom of God come upon you. You don't believe Jesus is real? Well, open your heart and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and he's going to fill you with the fire of God. Open your heart and he's going to release heaven into you. Who doesn't want to receive heaven? People don't want to be lectured at and talked to a lot of times, but everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to receive good gifts. Everyone wants to receive the power of God. And in the kingdom, you know, God works by revelation. When we have a revelation of a truth, it gives us permission to enter that domain which the revelation contains. So by Father releasing the revelation that God wants to use you to work signs, you to work miracles, you to be a kingdom enforcer of heaven, you receive that revelation. Now when you receive it at faith, God had you snap on the radio, listen to Father, because he's taken you into that domain. That Father telling you that has granted you permission in the spiritual realm to go work signs and wonders, to go pray for the sick and watch him be healed. Now it's up to us. You see, on the cross, Jesus said it was finished. Jesus did his part, but now it's a time for us to do our part. Father, we pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes upon us. You know, we enter into higher realms in the kingdom of God by revelation. You can pray for every day for a year. You can fast for 40 days and still be in the same place. Because the point of praying and fasting is for God to release his revelation upon us. But when God reveals himself to you of his love, his power, his grace, what he created you to be, what he created you to do, there's no way you can stay in the same place. There is no way you can stay in the same place. When God's power comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you know who you are in Christ, that is what lifts you up. There's a place in the spirit where oppression cannot stay. Poverty, shame, lack. There's a place that God wants to take you to a high place with him, that none of these things that are not in heaven can stay with you. It's about letting God and Jesus take you up, to heal you, set you free, make you a pure vessel, use you for his grace. Because as you do that, he takes you to a high place with him, that nothing that's not of him can stay attached to your life.
For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame. They were cured. So there was great joy in the city. Great joy because of the healings, because of the proclamation. My proclamation is not with words only, Stephen would say, Philip would say, but with the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. And this is for today. When I hear the Acts of the Apostles being read during the Easter season, I say, we need to step into the Acts of the Apostles. It's not only them, but it's us who God wants to work miracles, signs, and wonders. But you see, that takes faith more than belief. That takes faith that God wants to heal people. God wants to deliver people. That takes faith. And most people don't have the faith. So they teach about the Acts of the Apostles, but they don't say, and we can do the same thing because he's given us of his Spirit. This is what it's all about. It's all about stepping into the kingdom of God. It's all about knowing the power of God. It's all about seeing the sick healed, the lame walking. It's all about the gospel. The gospel comes with signs, wonders, and miracles. And you know what? Most people don't see it. They'll read the Acts of the Apostles during Easter season, and they'll never see that they were called to do the same things that are done in the Acts of the Apostles.
Not only can we do these things, but we were created to do them. That's why there's joy when the kingdom of God is released and displayed, when miracles happen, because people know the kingdom of God is here and it's at hand. Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. God loves me. God knows me intimately. And Hebrew says faith is a substance. So to have that supernatural gift of faith, we need to receive the Holy Spirit into our heart. Because we can hear this in our mind, but to know it in our heart, we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. We need to pray, give our life to Jesus, and pray that he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit with an impartation of fire. Because it's a supernatural knowing. God is spirit, and we need to receive God into our spirit. We can receive, we can know God by his word, but he reveals to us by his spirit. The Holy Spirit is revelation. You see, God doesn't want to teach us by experience. He wants to teach us by revelation. We can read the Bible all day, and I do, and we should. But one word that God speaks to you in the private time can change your life. You can listen to us preach every day. But getting alone with God and just one word from Jesus directly to you, that has changed my life. That has broken me more than anything that's ever happened to you. And Jesus wants to speak to you. There's the word of God in the Bible, but there's also the word that God speaks to your heart. There's that word that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And when we receive that baptism, then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us the thoughts of God. Who can know the thoughts of a man but the spirit of a man? Who can know the thoughts of God but the spirit of God? Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just open yourself up to the Spirit. Father, pour out the Spirit upon everyone listening. If anyone hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the impartation of fire, I pray right now, Jesus, that you release it. We are ready to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we are ready to surrender our life to Jesus. You know, going to church doesn't get us to heaven. Surrendering our lives to Jesus and giving everything to God is what gives us to heaven. We are saved by grace. You know, the religious spirit makes us want to have to earn our salvation, earn holiness, earn the gift of God. Where Jesus says, no. My child, I have died, I have bled, and I rose from the dead to you. Today, take the kingdom. Here, take the anointing. Take my power. Take my healing. Take my love. Just take it. I did it all. Receive it. Just take it. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy shall be full. Can you be humble enough today to take all the gifts that Jesus died, rose from the dead for you to have, for the abundant life that Jesus has given to you, for the miracle power that Jesus has deposited within you through the power of the Holy Spirit? Will you be humble enough to receive what heaven wants to pour out upon you?
Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For yet the Spirit had not come upon them. They had only received the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them.
Fire.
And they received and saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of hands of the apostles. he offered them money. Simon the magician offered money, saying, "Give me the power to lay my hands that they may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to Simon the magician, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. I tell you, God's gift has been given to us, but we don't believe it."
Yes.
We don't believe it.
Yes.
We think, well, at baptism I received the Holy Spirit, true. At confirmation I received the Holy Spirit, true. But you know what? In most places, that's it. That's it. And on day of Pentecost, they take out a birdcage and they talk about the Holy Spirit. But that's it. But you see, these people in Samaria did not receive the Holy Spirit. How did the apostles know that? Because they were not speaking in tongues and they were not prophesying. The apostles knew that they had come and without the Holy Spirit. So what do? They lay hands upon the people so that God would fill them with the Holy Spirit and power. The laying on of hands is so important. The laying on of hands is vital. The apostles laid their hands on the people of Samaria, and they started to speak in other languages. They started to prophesy. They started to bring healing to the sick. You see, that's what it's all about. The gospel is all about good news. And isn't it good news to preach God and to preach Jesus Christ, his burial, his death, his burial, his resurrection? Isn't it good news to preach the Lord Jesus, that the tomb was empty and that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead? Hallelujah. Isn't it good news when you see these things, you lay your hands upon people and they begin to speak in other languages, prophesy, bring healing to the sick? I had a friend of mine, Val, who said one day to himself, "Father Tom is doing all these signs. I'm just as good as Father Tom. I'm going to do them." And he does. He does them on telephone. As he calls people up, he prays for the sick, and they get healed. But you see, he saw something in me that he thought could be in him. He didn't say, "Well, Father Tom has the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful?" No, Father Tom has the Holy Spirit, and I can do the same things in the name of Jesus.
So what is prophecy? The spirit of prophecy gives you the mind of Christ. You know, God is outside of time, and he's already written your life. He's written every good deed you do. So when someone prophesies over you, they are speaking to you the plans and the purposes of God's heart for you. You know, one prophetic word can change your life. That I've given so many prophetic words about people who have ministries, about things that are going to happen to them, and they understand that God intimately knows them. Because they know on the minister, on their own power, could never know what they're speaking, could never know the desires of their heart. But when a prophetic word is released, they say, "Wow, God knows me. Wow, Jesus has plans for me." The prophetic word connects us, it connects the people who get it to the heart of the Father. It connects them to the heart of the Father. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I came to draw the hearts of people back to the Father." So as we release these gifts of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "I will not leave you desolate. I will send down to you a counselor." And the Holy Spirit, he has gifts that he releases that makes ministry and makes us be effective upon this earth, makes our life flow in the power of God, and lets us display the kingdom of God so that people know that Jesus is real. So that they know that heaven is upon them. The power of God is upon them. May the power of God and may the gift of prophecy be upon you today. May God open your eyes to see in the spirit, your ears to hear the will of God for your life, that Jesus Christ today encounters you in his heart, that you are filled by all the love, all the grace of heaven. The grace is the ability for us to go beyond ourselves. And where we end, God begins. God wants to take you to the end of yourself so that you can begin to work miracles for him.
And those miracles are real. They are real. We have people that open the scriptures. They're called theologians. And many of them say that the resurrection was an experience in their hearts, but Jesus did not rise from the dead in body. They have no idea. They say that the miracles were not real that Jesus did. But you see, we know they're real because we're doing the same thing by God's grace. We know they're real because we are seeing it happen in front of our eyes. And God wants you to be able to see what happens in front of your own eyes, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he heals the sick and casts out devils. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.